You're listening to Vatican Radio. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.
I think you'll agree with me that one of the most beautiful of all liturgical ceremonies is a service of light, which takes place on the night between Holy Saturday and Easter Sunday. A night which, in accordance with ancient tradition, is one of vigil for the Lord. A vigil during which we go in our hearts and minds, symbolically from darkness to light. A moment of silence. An empty one, says Monsignor Peter Fleetwood, in a reflection, which he's called Go to Hell. Stay tuned and find out why.
Has anyone ever told you to go to hell? It's not a phrase I would like to hear addressed to me, and I must admit I would hesitate before using it myself. I think everyone would hate to be told to go to hell, but the odd thing is that most people in the Western world say they don't believe in hell. The obvious question is, if you don't believe in it, why would such a phrase annoy you? Well, I suppose even people who don't believe in hell recognize that if hell existed, it would be the worst place imaginable. So they would be right to think the person wishing them there would be saying something powerfully negative and being aggressive into the bargain. The only time, apart from occasional phrases in gospel readings, that hell is mentioned in church is if we say the shorter version of the proclamation of faith, what we call the Apostles' Creed. After Jesus was crucified, dead and buried, Christians have continued with the words, "He descended into hell." In other words, after the crucifixion, death and burial of Jesus, which we remember on Good Friday, the Apostles' Creed states that Jesus descended into hell before rising on Easter Sunday. That explains why Holy Saturday is such an empty day. The day before Easter is the day when Jesus is totally absent from this world, the only day between his conception and his ascension to heaven. This is not something invented by the later church, but refers to something unusual in the first letter of Peter, where it is written that through the Holy Spirit, Jesus went and preached to the spirits in prison who disobeyed long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. The reason why Jesus made this journey to the spirits in prison is given later in the same letter. God the Father is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. The more modern version of the Apostles' Creed doesn't mention hell, but says Jesus descended to the dead. That doesn't mean hell has been abolished, but simply that the new translation is closer to the first letter of Peter. However, the Greek and the Latin versions of the Apostles' Creed both refer to the lowest places, something like the nether regions or the underworld, which are other ways the English language has for referring to hell. I think this little forgotten part of our faith is very important, and there's something touching and beautiful about it. I had a discussion recently with some very devout Catholic ladies who wondered why not to forget about hell. One sister thought there is most certainly a hell, but she just cannot believe that there's anybody there. The other sister was extremely angry. She is not prepared to believe that hell is just a threat. She admitted that she doesn't know anyone personally who deserves to go to hell, but she hopes the people who've committed certain kinds of crimes will be there sooner or later. They asked me who was right. Very embarrassing. I agree with both of them in a way, but in my mind were echoes of what we learned when we studied this in theology. The Church teaches that there is a hell, which involves real punishment for sin, but the Church cannot say whether there's anyone there. I told my two friends that, and also told them I've heard that Orthodox Christians believe that the prayers of the Mother of God are so powerful that at the Last Judgment she will ask God to have mercy on all sinners, and nobody will be damned for eternity. What the Apostles' Creed and the first letter of Peter tell us is that whatever human beings think of each other's actions, however much we would like to dump serious sinners, God does not leave it there. The gospel is preached to those who are dead so that they can live in the Spirit. Who are these dead people to whom the gospel was preached? They are the people who disobeyed long ago. I suppose they're people who knew what God expected of them, but ignored that and stubbornly went their own way. That cannot mean just the people from Noah's day, but probably anyone who's ever really seriously disobeyed God. What is important about the journey Jesus made to the underworld or to hell is that God, for some reason, wanted to give the people who were apparently condemned to be forgotten for eternity another chance. He wanted them to live and not to remain dead. We have no clue whether the souls in prison listened to what Jesus had to say when he went to visit them. But what the Apostles' Creed and the first letter of Peter are really trying to say is that God is insistently merciful. God keeps offering us a chance. As far as God is concerned, we should never think it is too late for change, even after we die. Now, I think anyone who lets that sink in has to be ready to admit that there may be much more to God than we spontaneously realize. People who know they are sinners need not despair, and those prepared to make a list of sinners should not be so presumptuous. When I was learning my religion from a little catechism at school, we were warned that two of the most serious sins in the book were despair and presumption. And I think the message of Holy Saturday is meant to banish both of them. Nobody should feel beyond redemption, and nobody should make them feel that way. A Swiss theologian who wrote about Holy Saturday and the visit to the souls in prison in hell reckoned that this was God's attempt to rescue people who had condemned themselves by their sinful lives to eternal solitude. Jesus took every sin ever committed with him into the realm of the dead, and in that way, every sin died with him. He destroyed the power of death and of sin. That does not mean nobody will ever die again, and nobody will ever sin again, but that death, which is the most terrifying thing for some people, and sin, which seems to dominate so much of our lives, cannot ultimately dominate our lives. Jesus visited the souls in prison for sin to offer them a way back to life.
Our thanks there, as always, to Monsignor Peter Fleetwood for helping us reflect on Holy Saturday.
I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.